would you please introduce yourselves?
I'm Jay. I play drums.
Michael. I play guitar.
I'm Nicole, and I play the Farfisa organ, and I sing lead.
And are you all on, you see, this is the test now. Are you all in a band of any sort, or do you just play it on the street kind of individually?
Depends on the day, but we are in a band.
And that band is called?
Come on. It's called the Love Me Nots.
Work with me.
There you go.
Work with me, Nicole. Holy.
And we are missing Christina.
Yes. Christina the bass
player. Who plays bass.
Who is on a different, I said that we killed her, but she's actually on a different flight.
A different travel schedule.
She's
than
here
we
in
are
San
today.
Francisco somewhere.
Somewhere on Haight.
Undisclosed location.
On Haight Street, probably.
We're going to be posting her bail later on.
Probably.
As I was listening to Voice in My Head last night, I thought, soundtrack of the next Tarantino movie for sure. What do you think?
The voice in your head or the song?
Thank you. We'll all be playing all week. Ladies and gentlemen, the Love Me Nots. Thank you.
Tarantino's it. That's where I want to be.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
No, I really, has he discovered you yet?
He has not.
Not to our knowledge.
He needs to. It's ready made.
He could hate us.
It's ready made.
We should have been the band in Kill Bill, not the 5678s.
Seriously.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Where the hell do you go surfing in Phoenix?
Big Surf.
Wait, there's really a place to surf in Phoenix?
There is. It's a wave park there. It's been there since early 80s.
It's really
80s.
A wave park.
Yeah.
And you go surfing at the wave park.
You can surf at the wave park.
Where is the closest place you can surf on actual water that comes naturally?
Probably
here.
Here.
I don't know if San Diego is closer than Rocky Point from where we're at.
Mexico's pretty close, but yeah. I think San Diego is where most people go.
I was just wondering because, you know, there's such a surf influence. And now, is everybody here from Arizona originally?
No, just me. Christina's native.
Okay, so where's everybody from?
Seattle.
Seattle, okay.
Chicago,
wow, okay.
Michael's from Phoenix. Christina's from Phoenix. But I think some of your surf interest comes from your days in California. You spent some time in Southern California.
I like the tones of Dick Dale and Dead Kennedys and stuff like that.
So give me the history of Chicago, Seattle, Phoenix, and the whole, because I know you were in other bands. And, you know, you read the bios, and I think I went to page 64 on Google, and you still don't get anywhere when you're me. So, you know, and your bio is very well written, but it still doesn't tell me anything.
No.
We're an enigma.
Purposely designed to do that,
exactly.
Undoubtedly. But, you see, nobody gets to leave this room without telling the truth.
The white light is on us.
The white light and the white heat. So,
well, where do you want to start?
I'll start with the side projects or start with Chicago. Right. You know, I was born a small child, whatever it takes.
I was once a small child. I'm still not very tall, but I moved.
This is radio. You're safe. You're safe with me.
I'm very tall and thin.
Amazon.
Right.
Statuesque.
And statuesque. Right.
Yes.
I actually moved to Arizona to go to college, to go to school at the University of Arizona. That's
and what
how
did
I ended
you
up there.
Study at University of Arizona?
Hard
knocks.
Sort of a psychology thing.
Psychology thing. Okay, we know we're in trouble here. She's going to psychoanalyze this interview.
That'll be part two.
It was going very well, but there's a little too much insecurity in the room. Well, you know, I thought it was going to be a Jungian interview, but it got very Freud.
It's always Freud in this band.
Yeah, it's always Freud. It's fried with
it's
me. It's fried with me. It's a whole different story. Sigmund Freud. And you, Mr. Seattle.
What about me?
I forgot
the question.
How did you come to this moment in time? We're trying to get real band history, and then we're going to make it all coalesce into this wonderful bundle of joy that has added up to the Love Me Nots. That was my Casey Kasem.
That's good.
Long distance dedication.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
To our missing bass player,
Christina. Did you go to school in Seattle for something, and then decide to get rock and roll?
I made it to Phoenix. I was still pretty young. Went to high school in Arizona, and I met Michael. I was about 19. I met Michael, and we tried to do a couple projects,
and
they didn't work out. And then we
tell me the project that didn't work out. Let's get to the deep dark. What was it called, and what did you play?
We never had a name.
It never got.
And
that's why it didn't work out for starters.
We couldn't even finish two songs that we had.
These are issues. Okay, psychologist, they've got some issues.
Whose fault was it that didn't work out? That's
pretty much
dirt.
Michael's.
There you go.
I think we had a big blow. He told me to do something like John Bonham, and we had a big blowout.
Is that what happened, really?
Yeah.
Damn. Dun, 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 dun. Why wouldn't you play like John Bonham?
I just didn't like you telling me to play like John Bonham.
This is how these go. This is how these go.
Hopefully we'll still be a band by the end of the interview.
Don't I say, can you?
You asking is telling.
Jesus.
And it was everybody's fault. Nobody was that committed to it. And
well, you had no name, you had no songs, and you were and you were attempting to be a band.
But we would get together.
Why don't you just open a janitorial service? I mean, you know, if you have no name and no songs,
it would have been more lucrative.
Yeah, probably.
And we never played a show.
And so then, how did?
Well, we had that one band, the Sonic Thrills thing, where we actually played.
Yeah,
shows
but that was much
had
later.
Names. Oh yeah, it was much.
That was much later.
Okay.
Okay, so are these the aforementioned side projects?
Yeah,
so in the bio, these
no,
are.
Then we got a legitimate band.
This is a
together.
Very side project. I'm hearing about
early.
It.
Early.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then we actually got a great band together, and after our first show, I moved to New York, and didn't tell anyone. Yeah.
That was the Sonic Thrills.
That was the Sonic Thrills. And it still is the Sonic Thrills. It's a great band.
It's one of Phoenix's best bands. And Christina was playing and still does play around Phoenix in a band called the Madcaps, another very good band. And I was...
The sound of these bands, the Sonic Thrills and the Madcaps.
Sonic Thrills?
Go ahead, Michael. Michael's basically the Sonic Thrills. Michael and the singer Jim. And
Sonic Thrills is more of a Saints, Damned kind of garage, a little more rock.
Okay, got it.
How would you describe the Madcaps?
A little Stonesy in there.
Stonesy, yeah. But like the early stuff.
The blues-based.
Yeah. And the Madcaps are...
are sort of psyche.
Psychedelic 60s.
Yeah.
Lots of old gear and, three-piece.
Still a big garage sound to them as
big
well.
Big influence.
Yeah. We all like that sort of raw, and early
then,
rock and roll sound.
And then... you ran into
Blue Fur was the name of my band.
And what did Blue Fur play?
Blue Fur didn't fit any of that stuff, really. It was a much more new wave-ish.
I never would have guessed by the name.
It was a Cookie Monster reference back in the day. But I did play a Farfisa sound on a sparkling brand new synthesizer.
What was the famous Blue Fur song? Like, what was the big song that?
If there had been a big song, I could tell you that. There really wasn't a big song.
There wasn't.
Right? Cinderella. We had a song called Cinderella that was very popular. But
that was Cinderella by Blue Fur.
Right.
Right here on the rocker.
Cinderella was the one that I heard that made me.
And that Cinderella is what connected us, I think, as a band, as the Love Me Nots. Eventually.
Ending our Phoenix rock block, it was Cinderella by Blue Fur.
Okay, now you're just making fun of it.
Yeah. So what's your? Well, you just told me
it's
that
fair. It's all fair.
You just told me
we
there
deserved
wasn't.
It.
You just told me there wasn't a hit.
There wasn't.
I hear fans are starting to show up dressed like you in the album cover. So is Black and White the new Black and White?
We're hoping. Preferably black and white in a mods, in a, you know, not like zebra, but, you know, black and white in the Love Me Nots way.
So like, when you, formed this band, and you, concepted this band, you know, did you sit down and say, we're going to play this kind of music, we're going to write songs like this, we're going to be black and white, we're, you know, we've got our color palette. How much planning, or was it more, you got together and started playing stuff? And it wouldn't be bad either one of those, by the way. It's just an interesting thing to hear.
It was initially supposed to go in another direction, but Nicole and I, after playing together for a couple of rehearsals, just sort of hit on a sound that we both liked. It was a lot of fuzz, reverb, guitar, and the organ sound. And the idea that I had in my head originally didn't seem to make much sense when we both wanted to use those sounds and write songs. So we just started writing songs together and started looking for a band that would be able to pull this stuff off.
Do you want to share the alternate idea and what could have come to be?
Well, the alternate idea was going to be a little more like John Spencer inspired project.
So still more blues in there then?
A little more boss hog, sort of something cool and
probably wouldn't have gone as far, though.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to do something a little different than the Sonic Thrills, and that was I'm a Boss Hogg fan, and I thought something like that might be fun to do. And when I went and found Nicole, that was originally my idea, but it was not. I just wanted to get together and see what sort of songs we could write, and we just hit on this, the two of these fuzz Farfisa sounds together we really liked, and we're big fans of the Animals and the early 60s.
Same here. That's so, why you're here.
And in fact, Keep Talking, which is on our album, that was the very first song we wrote. The very first minute that we came up with the sound, that was the riff he was playing, and that turned into that song.
Yeah.
That
I said, day. Let's just play songs that sound like this. This is fun.
Yeah.
And speaking of white, pun intended, you're going to be tired of this question in about a year from now, but I think I can still get away with it. You went all the way to Detroit for a producer for the album because you searched out the producer for the sound you wanted, and I assume you pitched that producer and said, we want you, and then you did it in 4 days.
We actually, we went back as we were trying to think of who should record this stuff, and Michael's got a big album collection, of course, and so we went back and ended up listening to old White Stripes and looked up the name on there, and frankly weren't that familiar with Jim personally yet, of course. Literally sent him an email and never thought we'd hear from him in a million years, and 3 days later he wrote back and said, I listened to your rehearsal tracks that you have up on MySpace, and let's do it in 4 days. Don't even bring anything. Don't even bring your guitars. Just use all my old Dirt Bomb stuff and all that, and we'll just plug you in and we'll do it. And we literally had it tracked and mixed in 4 days. It was amazing.
The Farfisa, does it have a history? Did it work for other bands?
It's worked for a lot of other bands, but I think...
Do you know any of them? Or?
Well, Monkees.
Oh, no, but yours, I'm saying. Yours in particular.
Oh.
No, I know.
I was going to say, why are you asking me this? But okay.
Well, I figured we'd get educated. The Farfisa was invented in 1946 by Joe Farfisa, who originally had it for his small band, the Farfisas. No, I don't
That'd be great, the Farfisas. That's my next band.
The Farfisas. Except everybody pronounced you. That was the Farfisas.
The Farfisas.
The Farfisas.
Yeah, Farfusa, we've heard it called that.
How many do you own?
Two identical ones. I play the Fast 3, which is the smaller white model. It's a little easier to carry around, and it obviously goes with the white thing that we have going on. And in answer to your other question, the Madcaps have a Farfisa player. He plays a big compact. And in Blue Fur, I was playing a Farfisa tone, but I wasn't playing a real Farfisa. But we found the one I play on eBay. And then happened the next week to find a second one on eBay, this identical. So we bought them both.
And what do they go for? I mean, is it
about $500.
I read that for the video of Move and Type, you performed the song 30 times. So I imagine at least it's a short song. You could at least do it 30 times in a day.
It was a lot more than that.
But standing in front of that green screen, waiting for all those effects to finally make their way into the video, I imagine you went a little stir crazy.
Yeah, to say the least.
It was a long day. It was 12 hours, but which doesn't sound like a lot in the making of a video, but it was 12 straight hours.
It's still hard to play that song.
Have you talked about the next record at all and the sound and where you will take it?
It's written. The next record has very much of what we like in this album, which is the same sorts of tones and sounds to it. I would say it's a little bolder in that, especially vocally, I don't see it being quite as screamy, maybe a little bit more bluesy on the vocal end.
But you're not going to turn it to Norah Jones on me?
No,
you?
No.
Okay,
we're going to turn...
Please, just don't do that.
Smooth Garage.
That's what the world needs. Smooth Garage.
Smooth Garage. You heard it here first.
You know what? I'm changing the name of... I thought The Menace's Attic and Just Another Menace Sunday were good names for shows, but...
Smooth Garage.
Welcome to Smooth Garage. The smooth sounds of garage.
I'd listen to that.
Smooth
Garage. What would that be? Oh my gosh, that's scary stuff.
You'll know soon.
Smooth Garage. Okay, do you have a name? Do you have a name for the new album?
We do not. And we do not have a look yet either. Smooth Garage.
I think that right here in this room, we have solved all your problems.
That's it.
The new Lovely Knots new album, Smooth Garage, came out today, and yeah,
that's funny because I'm understanding it more than ever right now. I'm more dialed in. That's funny you see it that way.
Smooth Garage. Let's just end it here and just stop. Picked up in the UK yet? Is it released there?
People are buying it there, and the stations are playing it, but they have to order from Germany, though. So
you haven't gotten a label over there yet?
No, we haven't haven't heard a word yet. But actually, the UK was the very first place it was ever played. That was the very
first.
That
was our rehearsal tapes.
It was our rehearsal tapes.
Who played it?
Mark Watkins, Blast 1386. And in fact, he's doing an anniversary spin bunch this week, because it was a year ago this week that he played it.
And what about, like Japan?
Japan distributors are just starting to contact us.
Because I can see you being massive there.
They haven't discovered us at first. I would love that, too. They're coming around. I mean, literally just this last month, we've had a few contacts now.
Yeah. Have you ever thought of reviving the Avengers? And who would you fight over who was Emma? And then who would play, Mr. Steed?
Jay and Christina have those two.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with the Avengers and the Prisoner and all that stuff. So
yeah,
I would be Emma.
I'm telling you, I would be Emma.
Michael would be Mother.
Look good in that miniskirt, do you?
He does.
We'd all be Emma.
Yeah.
Is the way I look
at
it.
The leather cat suit, that's the thing.
Well, Michael would have to be Steed because he's the most dignified.
He looks good in the hat. I'll say that. The gloves.
Little derby and the umbrella.
Right. Yeah. I can do that.
Hot.
We've invented a thing called a musical sandwich.
This
so
is good.
It is two of your songs as the bread, and as many songs as you want to play by other bands in between. And I am under moral obligation. And let me tell you, the reason I have no hair is because I've had to search, and I have a lot of music like most people do.
Keep Talking. I have a personal spot in my heart for Keep Talking.
I love Voice in My Head.
I would have to pick The Seeds, Pushing Too Hard.
About The Pretty Things, Midnight to Six Man.
Animals Inside Looking Out.
Okay, well, you nailed that. I knew that.
You knew that was coming.
Dead Kennedys, Holiday in Cambodia.
Oh, nice. The Ventures song. The Ventures that you always play. What's
the
name of it? Yeah. Yeah.
It's a cool song.
That's got to be in there.
You know that one? Bat?
Yeah.
It's good.
You know it.
I'm going to go with The Kinks. I'm going to go Outside the Box, though, with Wicked Annabella.
Outside the Box is good.
Now, if we don't have a Cramps song on there or something, that vein, Christina is not going to be represented here.
Is that what she would want?
She's a huge Cramps fan. And a lot of her style comes right from that.
Cramps and Nick Cave, who she's actually going to see tonight. Lucky.
Yes.